about his business. Jesus could come today. The last night of the revival, Dean was talking from Matthew 25. Awesome sermon. Love that passage of the five wise and the five foolish virgins. And there will be those who say, well, Lord, here's your talent. Here it is. I was afraid and I hid it. But here it is if you'd like it back. They didn't have oil in their vessels. Their lamps were going out. And a point I like to make about that is that what they wanted to do at that point was to borrow oil. Are you with me today? You need to know how to get a supply for yourself. Don't depend on the preacher. Don't depend on brothers and sisters to supply you with oil. If that's all you're depending on, if that's all you draw from, is these meetings that we have together here, you're deceived. You need to have a relationship with Jesus. You need to be filled up on Him on a daily basis. Because they went to borrow and they say, not so, lest we don't have enough. And it was too late. So today, God is calling us back to a full surrender, a commitment to our first love, and to do those things that we begin to do at the first with the same passion and love and desire. Amen? Serving Him fervently from our hearts, giving ourselves fully to the work of the Lord. And that means whatever capacity you may find yourself in, wherever your assignment is, whether it's fixing cars or, you know, pulling teeth, whatever it is, we need to be diligently serving the Lord in our realm of influence. Because you are a king in His kingdom. And He gives you dominion. He gives you authority. We are to be making the difference. We are not to be victims of our circumstances, of our society. We are to be effecting change in society. We are to be influencers, not influencees. We are to be the light and the salt. Amen? And we cannot do that without the oil, without being filled with the Holy Spirit. And, folks, not just coming to church and praying and being filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about engaging in the work of the Master. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. Why was it that Jesus was always in tune and refreshed? Because He walked in a relationship with His Father. And it was His sole purpose. Are you hearing this? To demonstrate to us what it is to live a kingdom life as people, as human beings. To do the will of His Father and to complete it. That's what we are called to do, is discover what it is and to fulfill, amen, the will of God. To complete it. We are in a race. And we're racing against time. The hours and the minutes are quickly going by. This last 5 minutes you can never go back and regain. It's gone. And so it's not enough just to begin in the race well. It's a matter of finishing well. And if we fall out, amen, we should be there to reach out and say, hey, come on back. Get back in the race. Encourage one another. And we'll go together. But Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Don't put your eyes on me. Put your eyes on Jesus. We've said this before, but if we're going to have unity, it's not going to come because we're looking at each other. It comes because we're all tuned into Him. We're all on the same frequency. Into heaven station. And then there will automatically be unity, and we will fulfill the commission of the Lord corporately. We can't do it alone. We have to do it corporately. We have to work together as a team. This city needs us to come together. Amen? That means the ministries in this city need to come together for us to win this city. And we have to begin right here with us, that we are united, that we are in unity, not uniformity, but unity, as we are tuned in to Jesus. When we live with an awareness that God has a calling on my life, that He has a mission for me, and that is a great responsibility, isn't it? We all have a responsibility in the kingdom. And then when I look at the task and I think about what God is calling me to do, I realize something, that I don't have what it takes to do it. Because sometimes we're thinking about, well, how can I? Am I right? Shift your thinking away from how can I, but how can God do it through me? I don't have what it takes to produce life. Neither do you. We don't want to draw people after us. We want to draw them after Jesus. Go to the source. Go to the river and drink. Drink from His table. Drink the wine that He has. That will rejoice your heart. That will deliver you from fear. A drunk man has no fear. I don't know. I don't think I've ever run into a fearful drunk man. Have you thought of that? How many know that's why the world's getting drunk? They can't face reality. God knows that we have need of Him. And the problem is we're going to the polluted pools of this world, trying to fill up that which is lacking, and God is saying, come, dine with me, eat and drink, have your full, amen, to your fill. Have another drink. You haven't had enough yet, have another drink. And when you're feeling really good, and your life is full of Jesus, then it's not work, it's pleasure. It's not hard, my yoke is easy, my burden's light. It's about finding our delight in Him. Refreshing ourselves in Him. Enjoying Jesus. Are you with me? Enjoy the Lord. Sit at His table of delights. Drink from the river of His pleasures. In His presence is fullness of joy. In fact, this last week, Dean said, you know, where's Jesus at? He said to somebody. They said, in my heart. He says, is Jesus depressed? I don't think so. Sometimes we feel His heart, don't we, though? We feel when He gets grieved. But if you delight yourself in Him, if you make your heart's desire, your goal in life, is to pursue His presence, to know Him. Out of intimacy, out of worship, a heart of worship, will come ministry. It will flow out. It's not hard work. It's a joy. You will find your strength, your refreshment in doing the will of the Father. Yeah. You want to be on fire for Jesus? Pursue Him. Just go after Him. Sing to the Lord, making melody in your heart. Amen? Just stay in the river of His grace. And listen for His voice. He'll give you a little assignment. He'll say, go do this. Go talk to someone. Go pray for someone. Go call somebody. Go give a kind word to someone. Whatever it might be. And you say, oh, well, I don't know. I don't know if I can do that. Well, no, I'm going to give you the grace to do it. But you have to cooperate with me and agree with me and step out for me. And when you step out for me, then my grace is going to be released in you. And you're going to realize that, wow, that was awesome. Come on. It is enjoyable to obey the Lord. Now, it doesn't always appear to be enjoyable. But we don't walk by sight. Come on. Sometimes the will of God looks scary. Well, what does that do? It says, oh, I better get closer to God. I better go deeper into God. Do you know when tribulation comes, it's good for you? Why is it good for you? Because it drives you deeper into the Lord, into the rivers of His pleasure. Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. He had all kinds of opposition. But it drove him deeper into the Lord. And out of that, there was even greater grace released through his life. Do you know God knows how to get us to where we need to be? So there's going to be a greater release of His grace. Because we like everything cookie cutter predictable. But the Lord allows us to experience things in life that will bring us to a place where we realize that what He's called me to do is bigger than me and that I must draw from Him. I must drink from Him. And the more that God blesses and uses you, the more joy you have. Like Nels was telling me about that man that you ran into. Remember you had the flat tire and how that thing all transpired and different experiences along the way. And how good it is when you knew that you are in a divine appointment, that God used you. When you prayed for somebody and they were sick and God healed them, how that just it delights you, it excites you. It's like, wow, little old me. Yes, little old us, but great big Jesus. How great is our God? He's able to do anything, isn't He? And it is bigger than you and I, the will of God. Yeah. But what it does is it draws us to Him. And we drink deeply from His love. And when we're full of the love of God, amen, ministry is not something that I have to work at. It's something that happens. It just happens. You can't help it. Like Jeremiah said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. When he's trying to hold it back and contain it, it was just like eating him up. He had to have a release. You need a release somewhere. You need an outlet. You need to find somebody. God has put people in your path, people in your life. There's somebody. You have an assignment. Begin with that little assignment. Begin mentoring or teaching or helping somebody else out. Amen? While we're being discipled, we should be discipling others. I believe that. The disciples spent a time with Jesus, and then he began to give them little assignments and sent them out on assignments. Amen? But it wasn't until after his resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit when the church began to explode across the earth. And the same Holy Spirit is here today. Amen? And I trust in you. There's power in you. But it has to be of Him, isn't it? You see, if we just come to get patched up, you know, get a little feel good, then we're really missing out on what Christ really called us to. He's called you to come up higher. He says, I want you to walk with me. We are living in a time, and especially in the church in America, I see, maybe you see it too, where it is a self-serving church. I read those statistics a few weeks ago. I think it was like 89% when they were questioned. What is the main purpose of the church? They said it was for my needs. Wow. That's not what the Bible says, amen? That's not what Jesus said. He said, you come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come to me, amen? I'll minister to you. But he told his disciples, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. And in the commission that he left behind, when he went up to glory, he told us, and he told his disciples to do what? Teach them to observe all things I taught you. As I invested in you, I want you to take these same truths, invest them in others who will turn around and do the same thing with others. And there's a chain reaction in the Spirit, and the kingdom of God is advanced, and the world is evangelized for Jesus. And when this gospel has been preached into all the world, then the end shall come. How many believe that we need to be about our Father's business? And no, you're not going to be able to do it by yourself. You're going to need to get filled with the power of God, stay filled up, so that it's just going to happen. Ministry will happen. You don't have to look for opportunities. They'll come to you. Am I right? You guys, you know what I'm talking about. When you're walking in the Spirit, it's all of a sudden things start happening in your life. Good things. Divine appointments. God says, there's one that I can use. And you know what? When you get Jesus' attention, He's going to say, Father, check out this one over here. Check out my son. Check out my daughter. They're telling people about me. And the Father says, okay, son, more love, more peace, more joy. Yeah. Seeking first the kingdom. Not my needs, but God's needs. His need is that we would go with this gospel as He has given us the authority in the earth realm, delegated this authority to you and I. Amen? To preach the gospel to every creature. Yeah. That part of you that wants to resist that is the part that has to die, and that part will only die when you go deeper into God. Man, I mean, we need to be going after God with a passion. God dropped this into me. He's a relentless pursuit. Guys, how many know it's like when you get this beautiful babe in your sights, and you say, man, I want her. It used to be that way, whereas the men, now the ladies are going after the guys, but you're on a relentless pursuit because you want her. You go out of your way. Do you know that God has been on a relentless pursuit of you? That He first loved you. He's been knocking on the door. He's been trying to get our attention. He's trying to get us up sometimes in the middle of the night that we will pray, that we'll pay attention to what He's trying to say. He say, "Hello, do you remember me?" We love Him because He first. And when the two agree and we come together as He is pursuing me and I pursue Him, there's this heaven and earth thing that comes together. And the greater, the superior reality of heaven invades the earth. And there are signs and wonders and miracles that result. You're a miracle today. I'm a miracle. I definitely am a miracle. Well, that was my Mother's Day message. Thank you, Jesus. That was the introduction. Thank you. Abraham Lincoln said, "No man is poor who has a godly mother." And a Spanish proverb, "An ounce of mother is worth a ton of priest." I thank God for my mom. I thank God for godly mothers. You know, I was privileged to have a mother who was not perfect, but she loved us kids. And she was praying for us kids. Am I right, Bruce? Sometimes she used to drive me nuts because I was trying to be a bad boy. And when my mom was around, she was messing it up. Yeah. Her prayers, you know. I used to get around my friends when I was a teenager. I said, "Mom, why are you always smiling so much?" You know, trying to be cool. It used to drive me nuts. Am I right, Bruce? My mom's got one of those smiles that's just like, "What?" Lights up the room, you know. She's just bubbling over with joy. She just loves Jesus. People flock to my mom. The phone rings 24/7 over there. It's driving me nuts. Always calling. My mom has a gift of mercy. And so people are always, you know, they come and they tell her sob stories. And my mom goes, oh, yeah. And she's just going along like, "My mom, you know, sometimes you just need to say, psh, enough." You know, like Joyce Meyer. "Get over it." But now my dad, on the other hand, was a prophet in the sense that he's black and white. It's like, boom, put the hammer down and bring correction, you know. Am I right, Bruce? You keep me straight if I get off course here. But you know what we have observed is that my mom and dad have honed each other through the years. My dad is much more merciful. My mom's got a little more edge on her now. How many know edge is good? There needs to be a balance. Maybe sometimes you get that edge from me. I don't know. Our moms deserve to be honored. In Proverbs 22 and verse 6, it says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now, many of us are familiar with that proverb. But how many of you believe that is true? Now, sometimes you're going to look at that and say, "Boy, I wish I had known what I know now then." Has anybody beside myself ever said, "What if we had done this instead?" How many know that we serve a God of restoration? It doesn't matter how far along you are in the process, God is able to change any heart, turn it around. Don't ever give up on your children, ladies. Your prayers are effective. There are people that pray for a few years and their kids get saved. Some that pray for 10. Some that prayed 30, 40 years. I heard the other day, I think it was 40 years, somebody was saying. And one day, the light came on and those children were saved. Born again. Serving God. So don't ever give up, because we have a God who is in a relentless pursuit of you and me, and a God who knows how to work things in our lives to get our attention. He doesn't violate your will. You see, that's why, unless a person is really willing, you know, to surrender their life, all they're going to be doing is getting patches. You know, well, I'm on my 30th year of counseling now. They put another patch on it. Trying to fix things using human wisdom and understanding. God is able to do it in a moment. The biggest problem we have is that we do not let go of certain things. They become little pets. Some people are just never going to get set free. They're just never going to surrender completely their life to Christ, because that would mean that no longer am I going to be the object of attention. No longer am I going to constantly being doted on and pampered. Come on. If I look at you, I'm not picking on you today, okay? Sure, she said. I like that guy. He said, maybe we need to be. Believe me, I get picked on too. God picks on me. He doesn't pick on me. He loves on me is what He does. People who love you tell you the truth. Listen, there is a time when you need to talk to somebody. There's a time when you need counseling. I need to talk to people at times. You know? There's a time and place for that. But it's not okay to live in that thing and continue to hold on to that thing and pet that thing in your life. Come on. We make little pets out of our problems. Well, I'm an alcoholic. Quit saying that. You're not. You're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Like, your confession is good. No, the one you... Well, I'll never be free. Shut up! Don't say that. Declare with the truth that yes, I can do all things through Christ. God wants us to grow up. Get the bottle. Like I heard one of the bishops say, you know, it's a problem when we have to part the mustache to put the bottle in, you know? It's time to grow up. Put childish things away. Now, we're all at different stages, and you need to grow up and you need the milk of the Word. That's good. But there comes a time when we need to be able to reproduce life. And I believe you do that even as a babe, as you're starting to grow. As you receive things from the Lord, look for somebody to share it with. Start to learn the principle of sowing in the Holy Spirit right away. I mean, they had to put a tether on me when I first got saved. They still do, I think. But I got so excited and so zealous for Jesus, and I'd walk into crowds of people with a Bible and slam the Bible down and start preaching, if you don't repent, you're going to hell, and empty out the place, you know. I meant well, but boy, I sure needed to learn some things. But there needs to be a balance, though, to receiving and giving, receiving and giving. And whatever you give away for God, you don't lose. You hear this message today, God deposits something in you today, find somebody to share some of these things with. And you won't lose it. That's why the ones that hid their talent, even what they seemed to have, they lost. You see, they weren't giving it away. They weren't sharing. Whatever you give into the harvest, into people, into hearts that are open and receptive, you don't lose. But when we hoard, when we just take, and we don't give, guess what? You end up losing. What was the message about last Sunday? Do you know that you start meditating on, thinking on the Word, start speaking the Word into others, that it'll stay fresh in you? But if we just take and we don't start giving out, we don't start sowing seed. We receive seed, but we also have to take, amen, a portion of that, and we need to sow it back out. The reason why the world does not evangelize is because Christians are not doing anything. There are many who are, but there are many who are not. Why? Because it's bigger than we are. And we need to realize that it doesn't matter whether it's bigger than we are. If God said do it, it means He's going to provide you the grace to do it. Yeah? How many know God doesn't tell you to do anything that He's not going to back up? Yeah. He's going to back it up. If He said do it. I was talking to a guy at an ordination. We were going in and we were having our talk for when we were going to get ordained. And they screen everybody. They bring you in before a panel. And the Assemblies of God is kind of like, you know, at that time they're all in their suits and ties sitting across this big panel. And you're just a little guy in there, you know. It's kind of intimidating, you know. And they're all like grilling you and hitting you from this angle and that angle. And some of them are gracious, but some of them are not. Some of them, I think, delighted in that, you know. But they asked the question, why do you feel that you're called to the ministry? And I remember one brother and I were talking about that, and he said, he asked him, well, what part of Matthew 28 don't you understand? He said it just like that. I never forgot that. I thought, that's good. Why are we waiting around? And sometimes it's so plain. It's right there in front of us what God has called us to do. And we're waiting around for the big angelic messenger again to what? Reaffirm what Jesus already told us to do. I don't remember what he said. They probably got red in the face and say, oh, yeah. Yeah. How do we get on that subject anyways? We'll just let God have His way today. Lord, keep me on track here today. I think I am. Thank you, Jesus. Don't ever give up on your kids. And, you know, I can say this because most of us, you know, whether you have children or you may have grandchildren, but they're still your kids. And you pray for them. You pray for them. And when we pray, folks, we need to also shift our thinking away from, here we go again, vain repetition. Do we continue to pray and ask for the same things? Yes. But a vain repetition also has to do with the position of the heart, where it becomes auto after a while, just saying blah, 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 blah. Say this, just throw another prayer up there. But the prayer of faith moves the heart of God. When you start declaring it over your children, you pray it and then you start declaring it over, my children will not go to hell, they will go to be with Jesus. Amen? My children will serve the Lord. Oh, you got to hear about, oh, well, no, quit saying that. Put faith in your God and declare that my children will love and serve the Lord. Your words are powerful, folks. Yeah. It may be true that your children are a mess right now, but God is able to turn it around. So we're not just offering up another prayer. We're praying the prayer of faith that says, God, I know that You hear me and that You always hear me, and it is Your will that none perish. And if I ask anything according to Your will, I know that You hear me. and that I also have the petition that I desire. That my family will be saved. It's not an option. They will be saved. Don't give up. Be persistent. Consistent, keep praying, keep asking, seeking, and knocking. And the day comes when that thing comes before the Father, and you got His attention. Cornelius got God's attention from his prayers and his almsgiving because he was consistent with it. He was faithful to do so, and it came up before the Lord as a memorial. I think it's in Acts 10. And as a result, God used him in a special way. Now, train up a child in the way he should go. Folks, how many realize that it's not solely the church's responsibility? No, that happens too often. Come on. People bring their kids. Sometimes they're not even going, but they drop them off at church. Or if they come, they bring their kids, but they're not doing anything to sow into their own kids' lives. They're leaving that up to the church. How many know that maybe a half hour a week in some cases is not going to be enough? When they're getting bombarded 24/7, you know, with all this garbage in the world and the messages that they're getting from school and from other kids and from television and from their teachers, that your little half hour, 45 minutes with them, boy, you better be really praying over your kids every day. Amen. Plead the blood of Jesus over them and put the Word of God in their hearts. When you get the Word in them, teach the Word of God to them. You hide that in their hearts. Amen. Have them memorize Scripture, whether they like it or not. Get that Word in them. And you'll find most of the times they want to. Especially when they're young. And what happens is there's something that becomes an anchor of the soul to that word that was sown into their hearts. And when they are old, it says, they will not depart from it. They may go away for a while. They may do the prodigal thing for a while. But the day comes when they will come back. So don't worry about what it looks like. Don't look at what it looks like. Look at God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. Look to the God who that where nothing is impossible. Some of you kids, you're praying for mom. You're praying for your dad. Don't quit. Don't give up. You pray the prayer of faith and you start declaring, my mom, my dad will be saved. They will serve the Lord. I declare it. You're declaring it to the heavenlies. Amen. To the principalities and the powers. They will serve the Lord. We're not taking no for an answer. Why? Because you are a king and a priest unto God, and you've been given kingdom dominion on the earth. Start taking authority over those spirits that are operating in your kids. Tell them where to go. You're on it. And live by example. That's also my message. So she's on it. It's not the school's responsibility necessarily, all right? Or the church. But God gave your child to you. So guess whose responsibility that child is? Now, should the church be, we're doing everything we can. Amen? To make sure that your children are receiving the seed of the Word. And folks, how many realize that when you plant something in the ground during planting season, you know, you're not seeing anything right away. So we know that. So don't get weary in well-doing, Galatians 6:9. For in due time we shall reap if we don't quit, if we don't give up. Galatians 6 and verse 7 says this, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, we need to deposit right things in our children. My brother may identify with this, but I've known people who have spoken to their children terrible things when they were small. I told them, you're stupid. You're no good. You'll never amount to anything. There are parents who continually yell at their children. Rah, 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 rah. You know? Are constantly criticizing them, putting them down. And someone near and dear to me, I remember she had a little boy and constantly yelled at that boy. Didn't just talk to him, it was about rah, snapping at him all the time and putting him down. Well, you can't keep that boy out of jail today. He's in and out, in and out, in and out. He's bitter. Ended up in a divorce in the home. How many know that we have to be very careful what we deposit, not only into our children, but into one another as well, what we speak into each other's life? So we need to deposit good things. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will what? Eat its fruit. So you're going to eat the fruit of your words. Now, most Mother's Days, you know, we're talking out of 2 Timothy chapter 1, where Paul, who was really a spiritual father to Timothy, Timothy was his disciple, and he had been very instrumental in Timothy's life and investing in him. But also he said in verse 5, when I recall, call to remembrance to Timothy, he was saying, the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. What was taking place? Generationally, there were deposits being made into Timothy's life. First from the grandmother, into the mother, mother, into the son. And then the Apostle Paul also. I mean, the body of Christ working together. And Timothy became really a powerful man of God. And the same thing is true for you and I today, isn't it? That we need to be sowing the right things into people's lives. And Timothy became a church planner. Timothy won souls. Timothy made disciples. But it was because of the investments that others had made in his life. So don't ever get weary in well-doing. Don't ever give up on your children. Keep praying for them. Keep sowing into their life. Look for opportunities when you run into them just to drop a seed. Because that seed is powerful. The Word of God will not return void. The Word of God is powerful. I remember when I was 26 years old, I hit the bottom in life, and I had this little red beat-up Bible that I had when I was a kid, and I had this experience in my bedroom that changed me forever, and all of a sudden I'm like, the first thought was, where's that Bible at? Something started happening on the inside of me. So I'm looking around, and I found that red Bible. It was all beat up and everything. And I began to open it up. And the things that had been deposited in me when I was a boy, vacation Bible school, you know, memorization verses, you know, from Sunday school, those things, as I would read through, they would be highlighted right away. And it's like it came back from being completely obscure and completely gone from my mind to right there fresh and living in the moment. How many know that the Word of God is powerful? Keep sowing in the Holy Spirit and you'll reap. Amen? Everlasting life. You'll reap life. So I have to say, and I think my brother will agree, that I've been privileged to have a good mom. And a good mom, folks, you know, I usually bring this out every year. But one of the things, my mom did this thing about, you know, it was about our lives and why, it's called a mother's love, and why they did certain things and why they said things. And one of the questions in there was, what was the most important thing that you gave your kids? And she said, Christ. That hasn't changed, folks. the most important thing you can give, the most important person you can give is Jesus. Amen? Sowing into your children's life. Hallelujah. And it will make a difference. Hallelujah. Oh, I got so much here. Yeah. I was reminded of this psalm in Psalms 126. Honey, if you'd just bring that up. Verse 5 and 6. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again. Do you see that? It's a promise for you today. Get a hold of this. Think on it. Speak on it. Doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. There are times when we need to agonize in the Spirit. There are times when we travail in the Spirit. We folks, if it means fasting, but we need to, there's seasons when things start to get out of control in the home or wherever it is going on in your life, there's times where you just need to shut everything else out and down and say, there's only one thing that I need to do right now is I need to get a hold of God. This has to change. This is going to change. My God is able to make it change. And get serious and pursue Him, seek Him, call on Him, and pray for your children with that passion. There's a passion here, folks, where it will produce a supplication, which is an earnest entreaty. It's as Jesus cried out to the Father in the garden with great sweat and with drops of blood from his forehead. He was in earnest entreaty, cried out to the Father that he would remove that cup from him. It has to do with the same idea of we go forth with this type of passionate desire to get a hold of God that he would answer. Amen? The kind of tenacity that caused Jacob to wrestle all night long and not allow the angel of the Lord to go until he would bless him. Sometimes we may need to spend a night in prayer, crying out for the lost, crying out for our loved ones that are lost. How many know that God is able? Quit just praying prayers just for prayer's sake, but get a hold of God and by faith, get a hold of that which is eternal and bring it into the natural. Amen? God wants to invade this nation. He wants to invade this land. He wants to take this city. And it's going to happen because you and I come together and say, we've been given a mission. Our responsibility is to reach the lost and to make disciples for Jesus. That's what we're called to do as a church. All of us are. What are you doing for Jesus? Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. As you give your life away, you find it. Second Corinthians 9 and 8 says, in God. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you. It's bigger than we are, right? He's able to make all grace abound to us, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. So in other words, there's no excuse. There's no excuse for you and I having lack spiritually. Would you say yes? There's no excuse that we don't have enough oil in our lamps. There's no excuse that the fire is going out in our lives. Why? Because we have a God of all grace. He's given us access. Come. Receive. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's able to make all grace abound to you, that you always having all sufficiency, what? In all things, may have an abundance for every good work. God is an abundant God. I came that you might have life and life more. Now may he who supplies, verse 10, seed to the sower, that's God, and bread for food, and supply and multiply the seed you have sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. You're not going to have a harvest unless you start sowing. And the more that you sow, the more that you'll reap. If you sow good things, you'll reap good things. If you sow bad things, guess what? But the main thing is that we are sowing. Folks, there are assignments that God has given you. There are people in your life. People that you may run into in the marketplace. That's your assignment. To do what? To sow into. Keep sowing that seed. Keep giving it. When you receive something, find somebody to give it to. And as you do that, you don't lose it. And the day comes when there will be a harvest of righteousness. That's why there's some days in ministry you just want to throw your hands up and quit. But I know that God is faithful. And if we just stand in there and say, no, we're going to advance the kingdom for Jesus. Amen? It's really not about me anyways, is it? It's really about Him. It's not about you either. It's about Him. What are we doing for Jesus? Are we sowing the good seed of the Word into people's lives? Are we willing to step out beyond our comfort zones into the realm of faith where now it has to be God and not me? And when I step out for God and I realize that He's greater in me than he that's in the world, God shows up. God does awesome things. Are we willing as a church to take on the assignment God has given us for this city? Are we willing to step outside these walls and take the Word of God, to take those gospel tracts that are sitting out there collecting dust and get them into people's hands? Amen? Come on. Have we been inviting anybody to church? How many invited somebody to church? Don't raise your hand. How many invited somebody to church this week? How many believe that this is a good place to be today? This is a safe environment to bring people. I've been in churches that I didn't pastor them, but I've been in churches that I wouldn't invite anybody to. But this is a church that I would invite somebody to. Because they're going to get something. Amen? Something good. When we say all, that means that, wow, that means I have to obey. I have to obey the Lord. But I can't do that in my own strength. Not very well. Peter tried it. Peter thought by his own brawn he was going to just be a mighty man of God. There's some little old ladies, you know, 90 pounds soaking wet, that can knock down a big Goliath because they got the power of God in them and they step out for Jesus. And Jesus will back his word up. Are we willing to be obedient? To get a hold of God, amen, the God who is able to supply all the grace that we need, that we might be fruitful in every good work, and that we might step out for Him. We have opportunities this summer. I'd like to set up at least, besides the other things that we have going on with Church Without Walls, and we're going to do the Festival of Hope this year. We're working on that right now, putting it together. That's the big event where all the churches are getting together. But besides that, I'd like to, maybe on Thursdays, I'm looking at Thursday right now, of coming together, calling the outreach team that had probably 20 signatures on it, calling them and say, come on, let's do it. Let's get out there for Jesus. Every person needs to hear. Every person should at least have an opportunity. Amen? If they refuse it, they refuse it. But there are those who are there, folks. As we know, the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons are busy. because they know they're busy lying because there's fruit out there. Where is the church at? Hey, Suk and I were just saying, you know, when we were in the Korean church, man, it was just a normal thing. You go out and you evangelize, you know? And I'm saying, where are all the American churches at? Where are the American Christians at? Where do you don't see them anywhere in the marketplace. When's the last time anybody seen anybody recently, anywhere, in front of the store or wherever? Maybe you, because you were there. Yeah, well, Joyce. But I'm talking about picking on anybody. I'm saying, when's the last time we saw, amen, American Christians out talking to people about Jesus? Throwing the lifesaver out because they're going to hell without Him. We can take a gospel track. You don't have to be a theologian. You got your testimony. Amen? You've been saved by the blood of Jesus. I'm a new creation, and I want you to know this Jesus who died to save you, rose again for your justification. You don't have to die and go to hell. You can come to live forever. And let's give them, when you go through the grocery line, when you go to a restaurant, how many of you drop off a track, you know? Going through the drive-thru, drop a track off. Sow the seed. Get the seed out there. There's a harvest that will come. Some people are right there, right now, ready to receive. Others, they may totally reject you. But they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Christ. And there are others who are just going to be receiving some seed. You know? And maybe someone else, maybe it might be you, are going to be the person that comes behind them and puts some water on that seed. And they spring into life. Because it's the Lord who brings in the harvest. Yeah. How many feel like you're being challenged today? You see, it's a challenge for all of us, isn't it? I want to tell you, it's a challenge for me, but you know what? I'm going to refuse, and I'm refusing to let the devil shut me down. Because that's exactly what he's doing. He's shutting God's people down. He's got them, many of them, captured by fear, in a prison of fear. And the solution to that is twofold. One is getting into, going deep into God's presence, getting filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And once you have been filled, to step out for Jesus. And when you step out, even though sometimes it may be awkward, even still a little bit intimidating, maybe a little fear and trembling going on, but once you step out and you start, God meets you. And God releases His power, and you'll see people healed. You'll see people, you know. It's tremendous what God wants to do through us. I need you to join together with me. Amen? Because this is not my thing that we're doing here. It's His thing. It's the commission that Jesus gave His church. And we've been called to the mission field of the world. Not everybody's an evangelist. You don't have to be. But everybody can give a testimony. And everybody can give a gospel track. Amen? If you eat somewhere, you may not have an opportunity to talk to anybody. Leave a gospel track behind. Get the word out. Folks, time is running out. Time is short. The night is coming when no man shall work. We have an opportunity. We have an open door right now. And I believe if the churches would do the same thing and they'd get off their church soapbox, amen, put on the armor of God and step out for Jesus, and we would unite together for the kingdom and the King, that we can take this city. This city can be won for Jesus. But the enemy has been very successful for a season anyways of dividing up the churches. Just doing their own little thing over here and over there and, you know, and having us divided over stupid things sometimes. Or little petty doctrines, you know, pet doctrines. if we're fundamentals and we believe, amen, in the deity of Christ, amen, the virgin birth, His sinless life, His death on the cross and His resurrection, we believe that there were brothers and were sisters, and we have been given a commission to work, amen, together to advance the kingdom of God. And you know what? I believe Jesus is coming, but Jesus is waiting for something to take place. And that is for you and I to get this message into all the world. Good. Right on. See, that's boots on the ground Christianity. That's what we're supposed to be doing too. Was it Kaylin? What I'm going to do is I just had Chuck go, and he's going to grab a box of tracts. And as you go out today, I don't want you to do it for me, but if you're serious about this and you meant all, that means all to what Jesus says. Take some tracts with you and pray and say, God, show me where and who. And as you go about your day, your daily living, there's going to be opportunities for you. Amen? Look for them. And so would you stand with me this morning? And we'll be talking more about how we're going to organize and work on these outreaches. And thank God for people that are willing to take the step out for Jesus. And for North. Father, thank You for this day that You made for us, Lord. Lord, we realize that we need to be about Your business. We realize, Lord, that this is bigger than we are, that we don't have what it takes to produce life. So, Lord, we come to You poor in spirit, and we ask You to fill us with the power of Your Holy Spirit. We ask You, Lord, to grant us, Lord, the grace that we need, Lord, to do the will of our Father. We pray for Your kingdom to come and for Your will to be done. Lord God, we believe that time is short. Lord, that we need to be making the most of every opportunity. And I pray in Jesus' name right now, Lord, that You begin to break off the shackles, Lord, that are binding so many. Father, the shackles of fear and insecurity. Lord, that we will get beyond self, that we will go deep into You, God. That we will, Lord, from the reservoirs of Your grace, we will draw. And Lord, that we will be filled with the power of Your Holy Spirit. And Lord, as we obey You, that Lord God, You will confirm Your word with signs following, accompanying signs. So Father, let it be done according to Your word unto us. In Jesus' name. Folks, we'll be here today, tonight at 6 o'clock too. If you can make it, God bless you. Thank you for coming. Go with God.